Yeah, good to see you. Yes, beautiful day in August, and we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer and how we can use that as a framework for us to just talk to the Lord. And then Jesus, his disciples asked, because they looked at his life and they knew that that was the key to his power and victory in his life. They saw him pray, and they watched him pray for hours, like all through the night, all the time they would watch him. And so they're like, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus said, and it's not the actual scripture, but it's the scripture. You know what I mean? It's just written out as the Lord's Prayer as we learn it. And some of the words are a little different in some of the versions. And you find this in Matthew chapter 5, or 6, anyways. He said, when you pray, look at your neighbor and say, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, pray like this. Now, they've watched him pray all through the night. And if we're really good and we say this, you know, if we get really used to saying this, we can do it in about 8 seconds. How do you do this all night long for hours? And so what Jesus was saying is, yeah, memorize this. That's great, but that's not all there is. Like, this is a framework. So let's say this together. Let's just read this together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so we could knock that puppy out, yeah, probably in about 12 seconds if we got good at it. But that wasn't the intention. It's short enough that you can memorize it, and then you can use that as a springboard. And so that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. You know, we get to the first line, Our Father, like right away. We can start praying about, God, I'm feeling lonely. You know, I miss my mom or my dad, but you're my heavenly Father. Lord, help my heart to heal up. Lord, and the Bible says that all of God's family comes from your name. You know, we're derived in your name. God, like my brothers and sisters, right? All of a sudden you can start praying about your brothers and sisters in Christ and the family of God. Like, it just springboards into more and more prayer. So you can use this, and I've done that for the last number of weeks. Use this prayer as I've been praying, and take each section, and you get to the, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so anywhere in your life or in the world that you see something that is not the kingdom of God, where you see violence or where you see injustice or where you see sin or where you see evil, we can say, God, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. I'm taking authority right now. God, I want to see whatever the resolution for that, whatever Jesus would do, we want to see that. We want to see people healed. We want to see restoration in relationships. We want to see whatever. And we can say, give us this day our daily bread. And it's what do I need today? What do I need today for this day? And it's not just bread. It's not just Wonder Bread that's not going to meet all your needs, right? So what do I need today? It's a place that Jesus reserved in that prayer where we can present to God our needs. God, give me what I need today. And so then the last 2 weeks we said that part of what we need today is the next line. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we just take a moment with the Lord and we have him search our heart. And God, what is there in my heart and life that needs to be forgiven? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. So what needs to be, what kind of junk needs to be rooted out of my heart? What sins am I hanging on to that I need to let go of? And then as I do that, last week we talked about I'm now forgiving others as I do that. I can't expect God to forgive me of my stuff if I won't forgive you of your stuff, right? Because we like to see my stuff as, well, I sinned, but it was not a big deal. You sinned against me, and it was a big deal, right? Because your sins are always worse than my sins, right? Amen? That's what we feel like because we're human, and we have a corrupted nature that Jesus is trying to, one day we'll be fully restored, and we're being sanctified little by little. So last week we talked about part of what I need to be forgiven and I need to forgive you. That's what brings spiritual and emotional and mental health in my life. So then today we have made it up to, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And right away, we have to just kind of do this. Right away, the way it's worded, it sounds like, God, I know you had it planned on leading me into temptation, but could you not do that today? It can sound like that. And the scripture is just very clear that's not what it's talking about. Like, and we'll get into what it's talking about. But steer me away from temptation. Get me away from those situations where I would be tempted and where I would fall. So let's look at it like this. Forgive us our sins, what we talked about last week, that's talking about our past sins. Lead us not into temptation, that's talking about our future sins and how we can avoid them. So both sections of that is dealing with your sins. You're going to deal with sin somehow. And so we would rather deal with it in the before the sin, right? Instead of the after, because the aftermath is full of consequences and it's full of heartache and it's full of pain and it's full of addiction. And so God, we want to be way more on the second part of that. We want God to forgive our sins, but more than that, we want to not sin. Amen? Okay, three of you. Great. The rest of you, we're going to talk about how you can get saved today. We want to not sin. Say no sin. Right? That's the goal. If you're not interested in that, heaven's not going to be a fun place for you because there's not going to be any sin in heaven, right? We're working on being more like Jesus. Let's look at what is a temptation? What does that mean? It means an attraction. So a pull, an attraction, either from outside oneself or from within to act contrary to sound reason or right reason and contrary to the commandments of God. It is an enticement to do evil. Or here's a real simple layman definition. It's an urge or a pull to do something you know you should not do. It's the wish for a quick and fun reward right now. Are we clear on temptation? You guys remember the cartoons where there was the little angel standing over here and the little devil standing over here? That's temptation. Oh, you should do that, right? How many have ever cleaned a bathroom? How many have ever cleaned a bathroom after an illness? That's a whole new level. That's a whole new level right there. How many of you guys are ever, while you're cleaning that toilet, you just kind of have this, you're just enticed to reach down in and just... Would safely say none of us. There's no temptation there. Do you get what I mean? There's no pull. There's no engagement with the inside of you to tug you towards. You're not tempted to do that. You're not that. There's no temptation there. Is it a horrible thing to do? Yes. Is it a horrible thing to sin? Yes, but we're tempted to do some of the other things because there's an appeal to them. It appeals to us. Now, if you're, not none of you guys, because you are all pure and holy, but let's just say someone that's not like you guys was maybe a cashier at a place late at night, and you're out in the country. We've been on some of our trips, you go by this gas station. I remember one time, you guys were with us, I think. We were out at Thad and Dally's, and we were in Idaho. And it felt like it was like 800 miles of nothing, and we forgot to put gas in. And so it's 2 in the morning. We're driving back to the airport, and we're praying. I mean, it was a miraculous thing. I don't even know if that gas station was real. That might have been. But it was nothing. We're like, nothing, nothing, cactus, nothing, nothing, desert, nothing, nothing, and gas station. Just a gas station. Just nothing. And then just a gas station. And so we pulled in at 1 in the morning or whatever. Well, if you're working in a place like that, and like one person per 4 hours stops in, and you got thousands of dollars that are just coming. I mean, it might be tempting to just kind of, just maybe, that one fell on the floor. I'll pick it up. Right? That's temptation because we're enticed. You're not tempted cleaning the toilet. That can stay there. But you're tempted, and like I said, not you guys because you're way too pure for that. But we're praying in this prayer, like, God, lead me away from the things that I'm enticed to, that are contrary to your word, and that are harmful to me and harmful to others, and that are sinful. Lead me away from those, because I'm attracted to some of those things. Has anyone ever been enticed, been attracted to sin? Okay, three of you. All right. It happens. You will not sin unless you're attracted to do it. Because we're free will creatures. We do what we want to do, right? And so sin works on our hearts, and it, like, ooh, doesn't that look good? Ooh, doesn't that look good? Okay? And so check this out. Here's a going in parallel to the prayer that Jesus taught us. Cleddy Keith. That's a cool name. I don't know if you have any friends named Cleddy. Anyone have any friends named Cleddy? I do not have any friends named Cleddy. I have his book, but I do not know him. But he said an ancient Jewish evening prayer that was prayed during the time of Jesus sheds further light on the meaning of, like, how, why Jesus would say this. Here's an old Jewish prayer. It says, lead my foot not into the power of sin, and bring me not into the power of iniquity, and not into the power of temptation, and not into the power of anything shameful. So that was a prayer that was already around during the time of Jesus. I did not know that until Cleddy, my buddy Cleddy, told me about it. And so I had to look it up, and sure enough, Cleddy was right. Like, I don't read old Jewish prayers from thousands of years ago, but this was a prayer that would have been circulating because it was a very oral culture, and so they would have memorized prayers like this. And so Jesus was kind of echoing part of the culture, and he's saying, this is a great thing for you to pray in your relationship with the Father. Lead me away from temptation. Lead me out of temptation. Here's what Cleddy goes on to say is this. A major truth concerning temptation is that when temptation comes, it's already too late. I just want to pause on that for a second. We used to, Marnie and I were youth pastors for years, and we used to tell the kids, listen, hey, when you're guys, girls, when you're out on a date and you shouldn't be being alone like that anyways, but you know, when you heart beats fast and your palms are sweaty and the hormones are cranking and you just love the smell of each other and you just can't wait to be closer. That is the worst time to decide if I'm going to stay pure sexually before marriage. That's not a good time to have that conversation with yourself, because I know exactly what you're going to come. The answer that you're going to come up with is, yeah, we'll talk about it later. And then there's going to be lots of regrets and sins and guilt. And like the time to figure out where your line is at, where your line of purity is at, is way before you ever get in the car and go on your date. Right? The same thing is true of the rest of our sins in our life. When temptation shows up, it's already too late. You better have a plan before then. You better have a communication with our Father before then. A decision, he says, whether or not to yield to temptation has already been deeply influenced by prior decisions that you've made and by prior preparations for moral defense. Listen to this line. Our best chance of escape from moral danger lies in the act of prayerful preparedness. There we go. Unless we arm ourselves in advance of the moral battle, we have very little chance when the actual test occurs. And that's why we end up with churches full of people going, man, I fell again, and I messed up again, and I just messed up again. That's not to pile guilt and shame on us. That's just to say we can do better. We can do better. Jesus told us we can do better. Tell someone we can do better. Oh, you sounded very sad about that. You sounded very defeated. You're like, oh, just he says we can do better. So we can do better. Tell someone we can do better. And he's on you halfway there now. Jesus is giving us some insight that he's called us to live holy lives, and you can. And one of the ways that we do that is by engaging our loving Heavenly Father in prayer and talking to him about our junk. We've already, in the prayer, previously confessed our sins, so we've already taken care of that. Now we're talking about, we've already confessed our past sins, now we're talking about our propensity to sin. And if you're honest with God, you can say, because he already knows, so you can be honest with God, God, I have a lot of lust in my heart for this girl at work, and her name is blah, blah, blah. I've got a lot of temptation. My heart wants to. I feel like I can get away with doing this illegal thing or this immoral thing over here. God, I have a lot of jealousy. And when my mind is idle, when I'm just sitting here, all of a sudden I've got these thoughts about why do they get to have it and I don't. God, I want to steer me away from that. Keep me from the situations where, like, if my mind is idle and I think, well, then, number one, just get that desire out of me. But number two, keep me out of situations where, you know, help me to be proactive in dealing with that. Lead me out of temptation. Amen? You with me? God, lead me away from temptation. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Next week, remember, bring your Bibles. Pastor Stephen's going to yell at you if you don't have your Bibles, and he is mean. Or not really. But for this week, it's up on the screen, and it says, so if you think you're standing firm, and stop right there, just pause. Everyone look back at me. Here's the problem with falling into sin. You think you're standing firm. Hey, come on, church. Here's what Jesus is trying to get at in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Lead me away from that. I don't think I'm standing firm. And that's not in a wussy, wimpy way, like, oh, I don't know if I can make it through. No, I just recognize that there's humanity in me. Amen? I just want to make sure you're with me. And so we're being honest. We're having that honest conversation with God. God, I don't want to sin. No, actually, the problem is I do want to sin. But I want to not to sin, however you say that. Like, that's the problem. I don't think I'm standing firm. But then Paul says later on, like, whoa, dude, if you think you're standing firm, and I'm not talking about being planted on Christ, or like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you think that there's not temptation in you, that's what I'm talking about. That's what this is talking about. Not our standing in Christ, not our fight of faith, and not that. It's talking about, Are you being realistic about the enticement that's in your fallen soul? That's what I'm talking about. He said, if you think you're standing firm, be careful. Everyone say, be careful. Be careful. Be mindful. Careful. Full of care. Care about it. Be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Like, guys, be alert. Like, this isn't new stuff. Come on. And God is faithful. That's what you got to remember in the middle of this. When dealing with temptation, it can get discouraging. You got to remember right in the middle, Paul says, wait, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also, key line here, provide a way out so that you can endure it. The problem is, if you haven't had the conversation with the Lord ahead of time about temptation, you get in the middle of temptation, you get so enticed that the Lord says, oh, you're getting stuck there. I made a doorway for you to get out of it. And you're like, what doorway? I don't see any. Right? Because it's too late then. So we want to talk with the Lord about it. God, I'm prone. I feel like this week I'm prone to outbursts of anger. I feel like my heart is really set on edge. You know, forgive me for any times that I have, but God, steer me away from you know, help me to get the sleep I need, help me to whatever, you know, change my spirit, whatever. Lead me out of those temptations to just blow up. Like, it's talking to God ahead of time about areas of weakness that you know you might be prone to, and just being honest with the Lord and saying, God, I don't want to sin, but part of me wants to sin. Help me to not want to sin. I want to walk holy before you and be more like Jesus. Then when we see the way out, we'll go through the way out. We'll get out of there. Okay? How about this one? Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, and that is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Wow, can't read today. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been what? Tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He's painting a picture here of you can live a life of freedom. You can live a life of holiness. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we might find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. What's our time of need? It's when we're tempted. So what do we need to do? Approach God's throne of grace. How do we do that? In prayer, right? Just like this next verse. Let me show you this one. Matthew 26. Then he returned. Jesus is in the garden. He found that his disciples found him sleeping. Couldn't you, man, keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. And then he said this. Listen to this. This is key, guys. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus is, a couple times here, is giving us a key that part of, not the total, but part of the battle against sin and temptation in your life is prayer. And everyone's like, ugh, I get it. Sometimes we don't think prayer is fun and enjoyable and engaging. I'm just challenging you to keep at it and cultivate this beautiful relationship with Jesus. And it will be way less boring and mundane and way more filled with God speaking to you and our hearts being engaged. And go through the Lord's Prayer. Spend some time in worship. And he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Part of the problem happens when we stop watching, right? And that's what the be careful, be mindful, be alert, right? Watch and pray. Some of you guys just get sucked into stuff and you're just like, whoop, I don't know how I got there. Come on, dude. Watch. Look out. Open your peepers. Oh, look, not look for sin, but like look for dangerous things and go, whoa. All right, If your whole life, you know, you've just been arrested your whole entire life for, busting reflectors off of kids' bicycles. You know, that's just your weakness. Like you just can't, you spend a lot of time in lockup for that. You know, just, you went through counseling and went away. Like, just don't go to the front of the swimming pool where they park all their bikes. just don't go there. Just be alert. Like, I should not be in the places where the things that I'm most enticed to happen. Put some guards on your life. And so that's what the prayer is coming in agreement with that kind of common sense and saying, God, help me to steer clear. Help me to not be in the places or situations where the things that I'm prone to sin in happen. And then the other part is praying. So it's part of it is being watchful. And the other half is praying, this engagement with God, our Father, that loves us, the Holy Spirit that's in us. Saying, all right, team, team Jesus and Holy Spirit and Father. All right, team, whoo, got a big week coming up. Steer me clear, all right? We got to do the sin bob and weave this week. Oh, sidestep that. Nope, not going to get in that one. Steer me clear of the landmines in my life. And if we blow up, then we go through the prayer again the next day. We go, forgive me my sin, right? We confess, but the goal is not to be better confessors. The goal is to be better evaders, right? God's faithful and just. He'll forgive us. But the goal is not to get forgiven. The goal is to stay forgiven, right? To stay out of harm's way, because every time we sin, we hurt me and we hurt thee, right? There's always collateral damage in sin. So God, and it hurts God's heart. He doesn't want that for us. It hurts your heart as parents every time you see your children engaged in things that's harmful to their life. And you're just like, oh, not because I'm better than you. It's because I don't want you to experience some of that stuff. Amen? Listen to this. You're either going to deal with sin before it happens or after it happens. The Lord's Prayer addresses both. What it does not discuss, however, is the absolute joy of living a blameless and holy life. It doesn't talk about the freedom that not falling into temptation brings, or it doesn't talk about the contentment of a well-lived and holy life. It also does not mention the devastation and destruction caused by sin and its effects. It doesn't mention the ruined relationships, the pain, the suffering, the hopelessness, the addictions, the regret, the guilt, and the cost. We deal with sin now, or we deal with sin later. It's our choice. The Lord's Prayer gives us an avenue for that. God, lead me not into temptation. Steer my life away from things that happen. Because it's easy and it's common to live reactionary, not alert, right? Not careful, not peepers wide open, right? We just live reactionary to what happens instead of giving thought to our ways ahead of time. Look at this verse from Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. Look at this. They don't even know what makes them stumble. Don't be like that. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. God, show me the areas of weakness in my life that I don't even see. Show me the areas that I need to sidestep. Show me what I'm prone to that I haven't figured out. And don't let this be heavy. This is. I mean, you know how we're talking about temptation and falling and sin and whatever, but don't let it be weighty. Let it be freeing. This is a freeing. This is your get out of jail free card. I don't have to go to jail. I'm going to sidestep sin and the consequences of that. And I'm not going to have to be picking up pieces for months or years to follow because God's going to keep me from falling. Yeah. Look at this. Give careful thoughts, still in Proverbs 4, give careful thoughts to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Don't turn to the left, to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So that's what Jesus is packing into this prayer is all of these things that are in Scripture beforehand. And he's like, you got to be aware. You got to be aware. Like, we don't have just a sin consciousness where that's all we're thinking about. But we're also not walking with blinders on going, oh, I don't know how that happened. Because that's the Bible will call that foolish. We want to be wise. We want to live as wise men and women of God. Faithful and full of life. Amen? And so, you know, we live reactionary. And then when we don't give thoughts to our ways, then we tend to, I don't know if any of you have ever done any of these things, I'm sure not, but you end up blaming God or you blame others for the mess that you're in right now because you didn't give thought to your ways. You didn't look at any of the dangers coming. You get frustrated why our life isn't different than it is. How come I gotta live like this? And you get defensive. You get stuck into destructive patterns. You don't think clearly and you don't use wisdom. How many think that just sounds like fun? Boy, that just sounds like a great description. Like, that's what we're trying to avoid. And look at this. One more Proverbs here. Proverbs 19:3. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then they're angry at the Lord. It's one of my favorite Proverbs. I've quoted that one my whole life because it reminds me of me. And I think is why it hits so much. I'm like, how many times have I done dumb stuff and then I'm mad at God for it? Well, if you would have done that, well, why'd you be? Quiet. Just give thought to your ways. Have some wisdom. Listen to the Holy Spirit giving you the nudge of don't go there, go there. Like, do this, don't do that. Like, Holy Spirit will do that. Let's talk about this as we finish up here. Oh, yeah, three things that we love. That we shouldn't love. The flesh, the world, and the devil. The flesh, the world, and the devil. Look at this. Hey, remember, James says, when you're being tempted, don't say God is tempting me. God's never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from somebody else. It comes from my neighbor, and it comes from those dirty, rotten people. No, it doesn't. It comes from our own desires, is what James says. Which entice us, they tug at us, they pull us and drag us away. These desires give birth to the sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Boy, doesn't that sound encouraging? But that's what's going on. There's something in me that wants what it shouldn't have. And sin comes along by my own desires and starts dragging me, right? Temptation comes. So when you give in to that, it's no bueno. Look at this Psalms here. Psalms 141. David is praying here. He said, may my prayer, say prayer. May my prayer, okay? May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands in prayer be like the evening sacrifice. Look at this now. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn. Hold on, let me back up here. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Let's go back to this one. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. David is having this honest conversation with God, saying, I don't want to get pulled into stuff. keep me from that, which is the prayer that Jesus goes to teach us. Lead us not into temptation. Have the conversation with God before we're ever tempted, before we're ever pulled. This, you know what this sounds like, guys? It sounds like mature Christian living. It sounds like being less baby Christians, less reactive, less, I don't know what. It sounds like we're actually being prudent, giving thought to our ways, having the conversation with the Lord, and God showing up. I just wish God would show up and give me strength. Have we prayed? Have we spent time with him? Because he's given us avenues to do that. If I just complain all day, I just wish I could go eat at Pizza Hut, and I wish I could get there. I wish I could go there. Have you ever been on Highway 10? No, I don't want to go on that road. Well, that's how you get to Pizza Hut. Well, I'm not going that way. Well, how are you getting there? Well, I'm praying. I'm letting God know I want to be there. Well, so some of the avenues that God gives us to live these free lives, being formed, right? Being in the Word, watching, being mindful, praying, right? You got to go on the highway to get the things. And so then let's look at this here. I thought that line caught me as I was getting this message ready. Do not let me, this is talking about wicked people, eat their delicacies. Eat their, do you know that within you? Why does he call sin eating their delicacies? Because eating food is not wrong. What he's saying is there's this craving, like we have cravings for food. We have cravings for sin. That's what's inside of us. That's what entices us. He's saying, God, I'm going to name this. Look at this. Look at this. Proverbs 21. The wicked crave evil. Kathy talked today. She said, crave the word of God. Say crave. Crave. We crave the things we shouldn't, but we can make a choice to pray about craving the things we should. God, help me to crave holiness. Crave the word of God. Crave godliness. Romans 16:17-18 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out. So open your peepers. Be on the lookout for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you've learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, their own cravings, their own cravings, their own cravings. 1 John, we're going to read about more cravings. So now we're going to talk about the world. 1 John 2. We're starting to land this plane here real quickly here. But do not love this world or the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. And those kind of things aren't from the Father, but they're from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. So the world, so we got this desire inside of us that causes us to sin. And we've got this system in the world that sets up those desires, right? And then you've got, as Gary Johnson would say, old Slewfoot. You got the devil, the tempter, Beelzebub, Satan. And 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this, in fact, when we were here with you, we were told in advance that we told you in advance that we were going to experience affliction, and as you know, it happened. For this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you. So Satan had tempted you, and our labor might be for nothing. But now Timothy has come from you and brought good news about your faith and your love. Elmer Towns wrote this. He said, Satan will set a trap for every believer. A specific temptation to trip up a person. That trap will be aimed at the weakness of the person. And when you pray, lead us not into temptation, you're asking God to not lead you into that trap. Do you get that? Satan's got a plan for your life, and he sets traps for us. And it's easy to avoid them. You simply do this. God, lead me not into Satan's traps. Lead me not into temptation. It's engaging with the Lord on a daily basis and saying, God, lead me today. Help me to not fall into that trap. Albert Mohler says, Christians must recognize that temptations are real and a daily threat to communion with God and to life in Christ. The most dangerous thing a Christian can ever do is believe that he's somehow immune So if you think you're standing firm, you're somehow immune to temptation. In fact, failing to account for the dangers of temptation betrays a severe misunderstanding of the gospel. In the gospel, we come to recognize both the depravity of our hearts and the freedom of God's grace in Christ. If we at any point think that we are somehow freed up from fighting temptation, then we've both overestimated our own spiritual state and we've grossly underestimated our need for God's grace. That was a lot of words saying the gospel is the best news in the history of the universe. And it says that you want things you shouldn't want, and on most days, on your best day, you can be a turkey. You need to deal with that stuff, and Jesus is the only way we can deal with that stuff. And every day, he's making us, hopefully, look more like Jesus. And every day, we're making better choices. And every day, we're being more free and being more united with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But in the meantime, there's still this stuff, the world and the flesh and the devil that get in and want to entice us to do things we shouldn't do. He's saying, don't underestimate that. I'm going to share this last verse with you, and we're done for the day. Look at this. Let's end with this. Jude 24 says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. God is going to take great joy in seeing the finished product of your life. Amen. God is going to take great joy. Not that he doesn't take great joy in you now. He does. And that's the drive for all of this. The drive for all this is not to try to be a little bit better so that God might finally like me. The drive is God's already taking great joy in my life. I want to live a life worthy of that. I want to live a life worthy of that. Because sin defeats me, and it defeats you, and it defeats us, and it defeats the plans of God for our life, and it is clean up on aisle 6 because it made a mess of things. God, that's not God's plan. His plan is so much better than that. It's so much freer, so much more loving and life-giving than that. So we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, God, let's look out in these areas of my life this week. Steer me around them. Amen? He's able to keep you from stumbling. I want you to leave with that today. God is able to keep you from stumbling. This week is a stumble-free week. You're going to not stumble this week because he's going to keep you from stumbling. You're going to be wide-eyed, not just looking for sin, but looking for danger signs that the Holy Spirit tells you, and you're just like, I'll just go this way then. Right? You get your spiritual GPS going, and God will lead you and guide you this week, and you will not stumble. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.